This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Golhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV nationwide and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates. Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke has submitted a report to the Trump administration after reviewing federal monuments as per an executive order from the president. In the report, Zinke recommended shrinking the size of several national monuments, including Bear's Ears in Utah. Environmental groups are angered by the report, accusing Zinke of consulting primarily with oil and gas interests over public stakeholders. It is not yet clear if President Trump will follow his Interior Secretary's recommendations. Joining me now is Cassidy Craighill. She is the media officer for Greenpeace USA, covering climate change and energy. Welcome to the program, Cassidy.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for joining us. So first, let's talk about what it was this executive order entailed. We had covered this earlier in the year, and there was this big concern that Trump was going to simply try to remove the federal national monument protections of some newly designated monuments like Bear's Ears. So what was it that Trump asked Zinke to do?
So Trump asked the Interior Department, Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke, to look at all the national monuments established under the Antiquities Act. That also included a few marine monuments, so not just public lands, but a few marine ones too. And he wanted the Interior Department to look at all of those that were established and to come back with suggestions on whether or not they should keep their status or be shrunk in size significantly. I think he probably ultimately wanted a lot of these to be completely revoked, but that actually is not in his authority to do so. So I think he as in Trump, doesn't even really understand how this process works. We should also mention that this review of these monuments is nearly 30, was just one of several reviews that Trump also ordered the Interior Department to do. He also asked them to look at offshore drilling regulations, including some precautions that were put in place after the Deepwater Horizon spill, and offshore drilling in general. So it was part of a whole onslaught on public lands and waters and possibly opening them up for oil and gas exploration.
So what sort of consultation did Zinke do ahead of writing this report? I mentioned that environmental organizations, including Greenpeace, were really worried that he primarily consulted with interests that wanted to exploit the natural resources on these lands, right?
Yes. So there was a public comment period around this review, and it also he expedited Bear's Ears, which you mentioned, to have the public comment for Bear's Ears specifically wrap up in June, and then the overall public comment period for all of the monuments under review ended later in July. So there was a moment for people to enter comments into the Federal Register and voice their opposition. And what was really telling was that in Zinke's very short report on this, which was released yesterday, he actually makes it clear that the vast majority of those comments were in full favor of leaving all of these monuments exactly as they are. So any decision that he made to alter these monuments was the direct result of him meeting with oil and gas, the oil and gas industry, lobbyists, etc. All of Zinke's records, or excuse me, public meetings are public record. So you can go back and look at exactly who he was meeting with during this review, before this review, since he's been in office, and you will see oil and gas companies come up quite a bit. I think it's also important to acknowledge here that he, during this review, Deputy Secretary of the Interior came in, David Bernhardt, who is a former oil and gas lobbyist.
Right. So, he was brought in just as this review was being done, and Greenpeace and other groups were very upset about him. Why?
So David Bernhardt worked in a lobbying firm before he was confirmed as the Deputy Interior Secretary. While he was at that firm, he was the head of the Natural Resources Department, which means that he was paid lots of money every single day to lobby for the oil and gas industry and to stand in opposition to things like public lands, to the very concept of them. And he is well versed now in fighting for oil and gas rights, for getting them more land to explore and to develop. And that is the exact wrong kind of person who should be in a public service position at the Interior Department. There are lots of specific issues that he has very specific conflicts of interest. And it should be known that a lot of people called their senators in opposition to his confirmation, and he was one of the most contested cabinet appointees so far.
And so what are, tell me about the action that Greenpeace organized at the Interior Department just recently, right outside. You had a number of your members hold up a for sale sign.
Yeah. So that was right outside, like you said, the Interior Department headquarters in Washington, D.C. Ryan Zinke was actually there doing an event with industry, not oil and gas industry, but the outdoors kind of recreational vehicle industry, like big RVs and things like that. So not entirely connected. It was just a little bit coincidental that he was there. But we wanted to really take a moment during that comment period to let people know that Ryan Zinke's motivations with the support of Trump are to open up our public lands and waters for oil and gas exploration, and that he was going to work in opposition to what most of the people in this country want and what most of the people or what most of the public comments about this review were saying was leave these lands alone. We want them protected. And instead, Ryan Zinke is absolutely listening to the oil and gas minority in this case. So we wanted to just show up and have a strong visual to let people know that this could happen if we really don't put a ton of pressure on our senators, on our representatives, on our mayors, on our governors, on the Interior Department, and just create a fun visual and let Zinke know that, you know, he was on watch.
Now, the actual report, I understand, was not released to the public. It was just a summary of the report to the president that was released?
Yes, there's like a page and a half, which is a little bit ridiculous. After all, I mean, the number of comments submitted were nearly 3 million. That's record-breaking.
Wow.
And like it says in this very short summary, the vast majority of those were in support of leaving the monuments protected. So all we know so far is the little bit that we can decipher from that very short report. Now, the Washington Post has reported this morning that they have sources telling them that there are three, including Bear's Ears, that will be altered. I don't think that that is confirmed yet. I don't see anything from Zinke himself, from the Interior Department, but we do know that Bear's Ears, Grand Staircase Escalante, which is also in Utah, and then a monument in Oregon could be on that list. But what people should remember too is that no action is being taken yet. We don't know if Trump is going to act on this, but we should certainly be prepared for the worst, meaning now is the time to apply that pressure, to call your senators, to really make sure that they know that the public is in support of leaving these protected.
And the story of Bear's Ears by itself is something that we could talk about for the full hour.
Absolutely.
In fact, we had covered that on our program earlier this year when the executive order was first passed, speaking with a young Native American activist who challenged Ryan Zinke in a video that went viral. And essentially, we know that President Trump appeared to have ordered this review of Bear's Ears, which was made a monument just in the last few weeks of Obama's administration, that Trump wanted to rescind that designation as a reward for the Utah Republican delegation's support for his presidential campaign, because that delegation is very interested in seeing oil and gas drilling on the lands, and the National Monument designation, of course, does not allow that sort of drilling to happen. So Bear's Ears was definitely in his sights. Cassidy, should we consider it a victory that the report does not call for the complete rescinding of any monuments and just the reduction in size of a handful of monuments?
I think it is very premature to have any sort of victory here. We would be celebrating if there was not a single change being proposed by Ryan Zinke. But even then, we don't know what Trump is going to do. He's a completely unpredictable figure, and I think he often works in direct opposition to what people in this country want. So I think it's really important for us to take this time and try to put as much political pressure as possible on decision makers and let people know that, look, these places were protected after lots of consultation with local communities, with indigenous communities and leaders, and that these protections for places like Bears Ears was not a spontaneous decision, but took years of consultation. And it's frankly not in President Trump's power to fully revoke any of these. And so I think it's important for people to not celebrate yet, but to just amp up the pressure as much as possible.
I'm looking at the executive summary of the report, which, as you said, is that one page and a half that was just released to the public. One of the things that Zinke writes, presumably he wrote it or his staff wrote it, and you had mentioned there were, 3 million comments that were from the public that was submitted, which is incredible. He said, comments received were overwhelmingly in favor of maintaining existing monuments and demonstrated a well-orchestrated national campaign organized by multiple organizations. This seems to be a nod towards the work that Greenpeace has, and other groups have done. But it also seems to be a sort of backhanded compliment in the sense of maybe suggesting that those comments should be dismissed because it was just some sort of special interest organizing people.
Yes, and Ryan Zinke, that was an interesting a phrase from him, and Greenpeace was just one of several groups that mobilized around this, including a lot of local groups in states that were impacted. A lot of these monuments were in the West, but there were some in Maine. But yeah, it's weird that he, I mean, that is the purpose of groups like Greenpeace and other organizing groups, is to make sure that people have the tools that they need to call their senators, to voice their concern. And so we are 100% proud of the fact that we were able to provide that facilitation. But the opposition and the enthusiasm was there with or without Greenpeace. People were
right.
Really,
it's not like you were forcing people to submit public comments. You were educating them and helping
absolutely.
Them find ways to do it.
Not at all. And sometimes people just need a link to the to the right website.
The right place. Yeah.
And yeah, like I said, the passion was 100% there, especially for places like Bears Ears, where they had just won this victory a few months ago.
Right. Native American groups, in fact, a number of tribes came together and had been for years pushing the Obama administration for this designation. And President Obama did it just in the last few weeks of his tenure. Trump has cited the Antiquities Act. Trump has cited this idea that he can revoke national monument designations under the Antiquities Act, but it's not yet clear if he can do that, right? If he does actually go forward to reduce the size of national monuments, is there a legal resource or legal recourse to challenge the Trump administration on this?
Yes. I think that there's still a lot we're learning about the process here. It is
because no president has ever tried this, right?
Absolutely. And not to get too wonky about it, but it is an interesting story if people are interested to look back at kind of the history of how we have national monuments that then often become national parks. And the different presidents, of course, Teddy Roosevelt comes to mind, who had ideas about that. In 1938, and I won't bore you for too long on this, but it is, if people are interested, it's a good year to know that that year set a precedent that presidents couldn't actually revoke in full any of these protected places. Congress plays a big role here. They can alter them, and that's a lot easier to do, which is what I think we'll see here. I think Trump often doesn't understand what an executive order means, and he doesn't understand that Congress is going to get involved, and Congress should represent the people, which means so it's time for people to put that congressional pressure. But I think we should not underestimate this administration and their desire to bend over backwards for the fossil fuel industry. But I think that Trump will meet a wall of resistance when it comes to trying to significantly shrink these places.
And of course, we should also see this report, the executive order that prompted the report, as part of the broader assault on public lands from the federal government under Trump, right? And one of the new things that Trump has done is also revoked the ban on plastic water bottles in national parks. I mean, it's just beyond me why he would do such a thing, because of course plastic water bottles are a huge source of terrible and easily avoidable pollution in national parks. We're just getting to the point where people are changing their culture about using reusable bottles rather than one-time disposable bottles.
Yeah, and it's important when you see something like that to kind of zoom out and think, okay, so we have a president who is talking about shrinking the size of protected, beautiful protected lands and waters at the same time that he's listening to companies like Nestle and deciding to let plastic water bottles come back into national parks and monuments, which, like you said, causes completely wasteful pollution. And also at the same time, he's protecting things like Confederate monuments. So it's very bizarre when you zoom out and you take all of these things into context. But you said it correctly, where this is really an assault on public lands, public places, which, to be honest, somebody like Trump has probably never had to worry about before. But for the rest of us in this country, those places are really important, and they shouldn't be opened up to industry, whether that's industry wanting to sell plastic pollution all over the place, or a company who wants to go in and drill for oil and gas. So it's important to take this very seriously and do take it as an assault on our public lands and public waters that we really depend on to live, to play, to worship, to preserve, and to fight back as much as we can.
And another assault, which I don't know if you've seen, is the kowtowing to hunting interests. You know, there's been connections between Zinke and the NRA, which is interested in allowing hunting, you know, even hunting bear cubs in Alaska, in our national parks, etc. Is that also sort of part of this story?
Yeah, I think it's just another example of the interests that Zinke and Trump are willing to listen to and the ones that they're not. So if you're a powerful corporate lobbying arm like the NRA, which was one of the first and biggest supporters of Trump, then you have the ear of this administration. If you're people like you and me, we have to fight so much harder than ever before to make our voices heard. So yes, I think that Zinke likes to pride himself on being a sportsman. And I think that oftentimes anglers and hunters and all of that 100% should be concerned with conservation. And they can often be really great allies. But yeah, when it comes down to something like hunting species that shouldn't be hunted, then that is a very different story. And that is not exactly conservation. So it's important to just constantly remember who are the voices this administration is listening to. And they're often corporate interests, special interests, wealthy interests, and they're leaving out people like you and me, which is why we have to show up as much as we can.
Cassidy, give out a website for Greenpeace where people can join you and find out more.
Sure. Just go to greenpeace.org, and that will bring you to Greenpeace USA, where you can take action, you can sign up to volunteer, and you can learn more about this and how to protect public lands and waters.
Thank you so much. Again, that's greenpeace.org. Cassidy, I appreciate you joining me.
Thank you so much.
My guest has been Cassidy Craighill, media officer for Greenpeace USA, covering climate change and energy. And we've been discussing Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke's report on federal national monument designations. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.